Now, the shotgun start in golf is full of mathematics. There's a lot of setup work that we have to do in order to make a tournament work. So I'm going to demonstrate to you just exactly how we do a shotgun start here.
And here we go.
All right, all right, all right. Gentlemen, start your engine!
Greetings and welcome to a Monday edition of the Shotgun Start. It is April 1st. Andy, how are we doing?
Brendan, I'm doing great. I just realized I should have had some kind of April Fool's joke planned, but it's the first of the month. I can't mess around with that. It is the first of the month recording. You know, even though people have been trying to piss in my Cheerios over the last few months about how often first of the month recordings happen, it's still special for me.
It's still special every time it happens. Such a glorious flip of the calendar to April. Happy, happy April to you. Good to have you back after a week away of hopefully a little bit of recharging. I think all I saw was you pop out of the foxhole or your ground, pop your head up to film a roundabout video here in the United States side. That's about the only, you know, we texted a good amount, but I hadn't seen your face, and I flip open Instagram and there you are going around a roundabout. It's nice, you know, with me not filming.
Biggest disappointment. And this was, I had to hurry back for the Illini game, the one they won while I was gone, the Sweet 16 game.
Yeah, what was
not
that?
Not the one that got dusted in. But I was leaving dinner, and I came across an Irish pub, Mooney's Irish pub, voted best Irish pub in Sedona.
Oh God. And what's the competitive set there? How many is Mooney up against?
Meant to go in and test out the best Guinness in Sedona to see how it compared, but I didn't have time. I needed to get back to that game, and I said I was gonna go there tomorrow, and I just forgot about it. And that was the big miss of the vacation, was not getting into Mooney's for a pint of Guinness to see how it
see if they mug you off like they would, you know. You get mugged off in the Sedona. They're not a proper pour, I would imagine, but who knows.
How
I
would are you suggest doing? Coach, I'm great. Talked to you in a while.
It's Victory Monday. I know you're lying. I lost, but my BC men's hockey headed to the Frozen Four, overtime win. We're number one team in the country right now. We are hot.
Over big hockey fan you are.
Victory Monday. I'm not a big hockey fan. But this team apparently is like the 2001 Miami Hurricanes. Just amazing team that really makes everybody mad. I don't know anything about hockey, but they just really piss people off. They got the one kid, you know, blows kisses to the other team's girlfriend section. They just are very obnoxious, but they won it overtime. So Victory Monday.
It's that just, guy, you know, sounds like the Adam Banks of BC hockey.
Well, you know, I've invested, you know, so much of my time and effort into watching this team since November that I'm just happy it's paid off here. We'll be together next weekend at the Masters when they're playing in the Frozen Four. So,
hey, can I ask you a question?
Sure. That's what you're here for.
I didn't really have a big opinion on Dan Hurley before. Before the Illinois
game. He's a sociopath. You don't even need to ask the
question. Complete psycho asshole.
Yeah, he's
right?
A good guy. Cannot be a good guy. His dad, you know, his dad is lionized and deified by these New York writers. He sounded like a complete nut job, you know, in his own right, as St. Anthony's. Like, not a great guy either. We don't need to lionize this guy. He seems like probably not a good human being. We're probably going to get UConn people pissed off at us for this, but whatever. So what? I saw you upset about this on Twitter, but what? You don't get upset about things getting beat. The Packers buck you, but what happened?
Well, we were just getting our ass kicked, all right? You know, but it's halftime.
What was he doing?
It was the halftime. It's what he said at halftime. I can't remember exactly what happened, but the person asked a question about like how they're up six, even though it's been a struggle, you know, and he's like, oh yeah, but that's what teams that win a lot do. He's just an asshole.
He seems like not a good great guy.
Listen, I don't think
he thrives on it.
I don't think Brad Underwood, the coach of Illinois, is necessarily a likable guy. I think there might be some correlation to being an unlikable guy and being a good basketball coach.
Sure.
I think there's like there that's probably the two go somewhat hand in hand. But he just seems awful. Awful. He's extraordinarily unlikable.
It's kind of what maybe a college basketball needs though, a little bit. Maybe. No, I because the players are just unrecognizable from one to the next. They do have some
that's
beef.
The problem. They go, DJ Burns.
They've got some burly boy stars in this Final Four.
Have you watched that DJ Burns guy?
Andy, we got some pretty good seats for that Pittsburgh first round game. And we were like close to where they came out of the tunnel. And he came out first. I was like, whoa, holy shit. Like we were 10 feet from him. And my kids, my 11-year-old was like in awe. Like he had just watched Shaq had just walked past him. And he's so soft. Dance, you know, soft hands and feet. It's fabulous. We got burly boys between Edie, not burly, but big men stars. Edie and Klingon. And yeah, yeah. So not bad. Not bad. But Hurley, they need it. They need like the coaches to be villains. There's no Coach K, you know, anymore. Boeheim's gone. People like that. Bobby Knight, obviously. But like, I don't know. I think they need Hurley because the players aren't around to have a bunch of star power. So
I was talking to a UNC fan today, and I said, I was like, you know, Hurley seems like he's the complete opposite of Hubert Davis. And he laughed and he goes, oh, bad guy, great coach. You know, versus great guy, terrible coach.
I have to wonder. Yeah, guy named Hubert. I don't know, man. I don't know if he can be like cutthroat.
Yeah, did you see his press conference after they lost? It's like just seems like the nicest guy. So anyways, your basketball minute.
That's your basketball minute. And hockey. Frozen Four. You know, big time.
I certainly that's what people wanted to hear right off.
That's exactly. You know, you talked about, you know, do you need to be a bad guy to succeed? I watched an interesting interview with J.C. Deacon and Rich Lerner on Golf Channel. J.C. Deacon, the Florida golf coach.
I watched this too.
You know, I think he danced, you know, you put a little extra sugar and butter in the pot and, you know, made something sweeter came out. But he didn't pull too many. He didn't sugarcoat it too much. He's like, there are two very different Alejandros, Allies. Basically, he's not going to be nice to anyone inside the ropes. He's not going to be friends with anybody. It seems like Coach Deacon has really exhorted him to like, hey, man, the tour is about the players. You can't like you have to understand there are other people around you. Like you can't just be a complete a-hole or nut job. Maybe a sweet guy off the course or around town in Gainesville. But anyone in any way who's getting in his way to win or compete in golf is an enemy of Alejandro Tosti and in trouble. It could be his own caddy. You're the kid's in his way. Well, could be a rules official. It could be a competitor, like we saw.
I want to do a caddy count real quick.
Yeah,
update. We've been saying three. I have to apologize. We've been off on the caddy count. Toasty's up to six caddies used this season. Six different caddies.
It's not. It's 8 March 31st as of the finish of the Houston Open.
So he's had six different caddies. And then to the point about enemies inside the ropes, I don't know if you caught his presser after the round. Did you hear the word he used about, like, it was a subtle thing, and I don't, you know, maybe...
No.
Maybe I'm reading into this too much, but he used the word, like, I'll be here again. I'll get my revenge.
Revenge. Yes, I did that revenge. Like, what?
Revenge?
What's he getting revenge on the golf course? Tom Doak, the lie he got on 18 that had him very mad. Yeah, Steven Yeager. The word revenge, I think it was probably just, you know, he's looking for the English word to, like, I'll have a second chance.
I don't want to read too much into it. I just thought it was a very interesting word to use.
Wait, Andy. He's got seven events played this year.
He's at and you're telling me he's caddies. Allegedly, maybe one or two might have been friends. that, okay, like, you know, apparently he doesn't like to pay caddies. Like he does pay them, but he doesn't like to, you know. So the friends might be like, might be unpaid.
A workaround. Yeah. Workaround. Oh God. Hang out, be my friend kind of thing. We'll go get dinner together. I'll pay for that. Oh man. Okay. All right. So 6 caddies and 7 events.
Are we going to give any context why we're talking about Toasty right now?
I'm about to say Toasty started to go mainstream this week. I was getting a little concerned, as you know, Dan Hicks and Smiley and everybody, Hicks comparing to Jose Altuve. It was like, had me rolling laughing as I was watching it on my phone and my in-laws during Easter. Toasty, I don't even think we need context. If you're listening, you know you were tracking Toasty all weekend, but he finishes one shot short of a would-be playoff against Steven Yeager. Happy for Steven Yeager, another favorite here. Made the opening day roster out of camp. 4A got made the roster out of opening camp and gets his first big league hit. Fabulous. Hey, we love Steven Yeager. He's a winner.
I gotta ask. I was being asked this, and you're the 4A guy. You're the guy that dubbed him the 4A guy. People are asking me these questions.
Well, he's got speed
is
now.
Yeager's not a 4A guy anymore, right?
Because he won.
Is he just a late bloomer? Is he a guy that bounced back and forth and found his team and stuck?
It does feel like he found like the right Saber Matrician found him, like a Hatterberg, like, you know, Scott Hatterberg became the golden child, right? So he found the right system, and Art Howe got, you know, he's going to play him at different positions and bat him, and maybe he's stuck. But he's clearly got speed. He's always been a winner. Like, he wins.
He averaged
like 325
off the tees.
Yeah.
Today.
Yeah. He's got a little bit more juice in the swing. So we love Steven Yeager. Congrats to him. We'll talk more about his win. But Toasty comes up one shot short of him. 18. You know, he comes up short of the green, spins off, says he gets a terrible lie. He's really mad about the lie. You know, he's just pouring in putts from everywhere. He's fist pumping.
He's running off the green before his playing competitor putts out, celebrating.
The broadcast is kind of being cheeky about it. You know, it, this is a guy that we've, you know, tried to build up as a real unique character. So he comes up one shot short, makes a bogey at 18. He's 11 under, one shot short of Steven Yeager. So, but a great weekend for the Toasty man. He, of course, played with Tony Finau on Saturday.
Things got a little chippy.
Some issues with him about where you mark the ball. Then, you know, it's very icy. John Wood, like, which great. This is what I want from a walking reporter, right? This is what, and Wood, I think, is great at this. He's not dramatic. He's not like us. He's not, you know, getting just excited about this stuff. He's a caddy and can tell when the dynamic is off, a little bit off. I think he was the first one to bring up the LaCava, Shane Lowry stuff. Like, he's just on it in that regard. And he starts talking about how it is icy. It is very uncomfortable, incredible tension. And I think Toasty at this point precedes, his reputation precedes himself. He's the Toasty for a reason. He runs hot. So they're about marking the ball, who's away. They have a little bit of an issue there.
Measure it off. Yes. Ask Finau to measure it off.
And of course, just the incredible visual of 5'6 Toasty. And Tony is like one of the lankier guys on tour. He's just kind of smirking at him, looking up at him. Like he just wants to, he's going to, you know, take him out at the knees, like tabletop him or something. Just smirking at him. Like, I'm not worried about you. Speaking to JC Deacon sort of thing about inside the ropes, just doesn't fear anybody or anything.
Did you see him posted about it on Instagram?
Favorite part of the whole thing by far. I was worried that people were drama, but my favorite part of the whole day was that I don't know if he's trolling everybody or trolling Tony, but he posts about a wonderful day, great company, and it's like, it's just him and Tony standing side by side. Incredible move by the Toastmaster. So Toasty comes up one shot short on his sixth caddy of the year.
Also, Scheffler came up one short. the number one player in the world, going for his third consecutive win. Also had a five footer to tie. Also, he came up one shot short. Just want to give listeners added context there.
We could talk about Scheffler. There was a lot of Scheffler con. So congrats to Alejandro Tosti. Feels like he's going to stick on tour. It's been sort of a up and down first.
I'll tell you what I really want. I think, you know, the President's Cup has.
Yeah.
It's kind of a dire situation. A lot of the best international players are on LIV. You know what the international team needs?
The entire cup needs this.
They need Tosti. I mean, between Tosti and Siwoo on the internet, there's some spice there.
Are you on Tom? Think about Tosti. You think about JT trying to pull something with Tosti. Not to suggest they're equals in resume or talent, but Tosti is not taking that for a minute when he does his little grip thing. He lays the putter down with the grip, or, you know, it would be fabulous theater.
Do we really think that JT is going to be on the President's Cup?
Separate issue, I guess. Separate question. He's at Augusta playing with Tiger this weekend, but he's kind of flying under the radar for how not well he's played. Again this year, most of it putting related this year.
Yeah, so. We'll see. We'll see. Long year. It's early in the year, you know. Yeah.
I mean, the buddy system is back in play. You know, it's the same sort of captain cabal. So
buddy we'll ball. Who's the President's Cup?
Jim Furyk, B. Drowdy's own Jim Furyk. Yeah. We'll see.
What do you think of Scheffler?
I thought that was a fine putt on 18. Not great. I thought in the universe of Scotty Scheffler putts that make you go, eesh, that was not one of them. He said it was a misread. I have zero.
I don't think it was a misread.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I don't take that explanation.
That's not the pace.
You got
a fairly straight five footer.
I don't accept his explanation.
That's not the pace that the ball is supposed to be traveling.
In the universe of Scotty Scheffler putts that, like, you know, give you the heebie-jeebies, that wasn't up there as one of the worst. I think the bigger issue was Friday. He nearly holes out from a bunker, then he misses the 5-foot comebacker, and then he just screws around with the 22-inch putt, and that's whatever it was, double bogey all of a sudden. And that's could be the difference there. Doesn't change much about Scheffler. It's just remarkable how good he is. Tee to green. And there's no reason to change anything you think about him for the Masters.
Agree. He is still, without a doubt, the favorite. I think in a way this could be, you know, I don't know. I could go both ways, but I don't think the stroke's fixed.
Oh, yeah. Well.
I think that this is like the honeymoon period.
Uh-huh.
With the putter.
With the mallet.
Yeah, I think there's underlying stroke issues. Like, you are not just a bad putter. There's no magic. You change your putter and you're going to be better. Like, you still have the same issues with your putting stroke. And I think that was an uncommitted. I'm not that confident in my putting stroke putt to end the tournament. It was hit with poor pace. It was either mishit. I don't think it was a misread. I think it was just mishit. And
you blame the 22-inch miss on a spike mark.
I mean, he rushed it.
He had one foot on the ground and slapped at it. That could have been a part of it, too.
He's not a great putter inside 10 feet. You know, this is the thing that we see. We've seen so many great ball strikers fall victim to the same thing. Like, you know, he's at a different level than Adam Scott and Sergio. But this was like what you dealt with Adam Scott and Sergio for years, where they hit the ball so good and they were so, you know, they had so many problems. When you have so many chances, I think it makes putting harder.
He is so far and away the best player in the world, though. And like nothing about this week changed that. And at one point, Brandel, who I think was on the call, said something about, Like if Scheffler wins, it will be the most like dominant OWGR number one number since like 2009 Tiger. And that like made me think for a minute, like, like I wish we had more Rahm, right? Of course. Like I think he's, I don't think anyone in the world's playing better golf than Scheffler, but what does that stat even mean right now with Rahm not accruing OWGR points?
Also, anyways. There's a question of like what I think what like do we weight tour events the same? I kind of think the best player in the world is the guy that plays the players that play the best in the majors.
Yeah.
I kind of have gotten to that point where that's what I value the most as a golf fan. That sure. being said, I love this week. I love the golf course. I love that it's in like a slot that's not just buried in the fall. You know, that being said, I prefer it as Bermuda rather than the overseeded rye. I think it's better for the golf course. But the golf course is amazing. This should be a signature event. If you were going to like lay out signature events, you're in Houston. It's one of the biggest markets. It's one of the best golf courses on tour. It's also a accessible public facility that's extremely affordable.
Good boosters like the Cranes and Astros are putting a lot of money into this too. Like a good
Altuve
infrastructure.
Putting money in it. That's why Tosi played well this week.
Altuve. No, you make a great case here. Yeah.
But anyways, this is a great event. Tom Doak, the golf course is just amazing. I think the hardest thing in the world to do would be to build a golf course that gets 60,000 plus rounds a year that is also able to really test the world's best players. And at this golf course, you see like angles matter. You saw it all day today where if you played to the wrong spot, you could be in a perfectly good lie and have no chance of hitting it close. You saw it on 17 with players that drove it up left of the green with the pin on the left. It was like, okay, like if you hit a great shot, you're 15 feet away, 12 feet away. You know, you saw it on, I think it was 13 was another hole where you had to be in the right spot in the fairway. I mean, 16, the finish of 16, 15, 16, 17, 18 is awesome. Short par three, par
finish.
Five.
Yeah.
And then the short par four and the long par four. This is a great golf course. The tour should really lean into this event. I kind of walked away thinking about like, I've said this before on some fried egg pods, but I think like Tom Doak should hire Tom Doak to design a major championship golf course because he clearly understands how to test the modern tour pro, which I don't think a lot of architects actually understand how to.
Not that you say, like, I don't think any of the four Texas events are signature and like you should have one. I mean, given the Florida and California,
there shouldn't be four of them.
I'm not suggesting, yes, there should be a signature event in the state of Texas. I'm not saying maybe the ones that exist now, but this should be an option. What I liked about the course or this event over the weekend was it felt like there were pockets where you could like step on it, right? You could go like four under and six holes or whatever it is. And then like you're talking about, there's these stretches where you got what you got. And now you need to kind of really play, I don't know if guarded or safe is the word, but certainly smarter and more strategic. And that's what I liked about it, where you're not going to just keep the pedal down the whole way through, but there are spots to do that. So
think about it. This is a golf course. There was no rough to speak of. It was extraordinarily short.
Yeah.
It wasn't particularly firm. It wasn't windy. And 12 under won. 12 under. And it wasn't even like primed up.
Had some good wind on the first couple of days, but yeah, not necessarily like a cross or anything like that. That was crazy.
Nothing crazy. Yeah. Like it wasn't overly firm, you know, it was set up. It was just middle of the road setup. Golf course next weekend will be slammed with weekend hackers that are going to be able to get around the golf course.
Right. I think it's, somebody sent me, it's like $38 is the very most expensive it is for residents on weekends, I think. So incredible kind of accomplishment that the course is on. Did you like how they were racing like five wide? I mean, it was basically all day Saturday and Sunday. There wasn't, it's crazy. All of a sudden, Aaron Rye, oh my God, he might win. There's a Taylor Boers back. Thomas, don't call me Thomas. Dietrich was in there.
How about Toasty. Dietrich? Dietrich's the putts. I mean, it seemed like he hit good putts. It could have been a different victory Monday for the Illini.
Yeah, could have. Needed. So it was really a lot of, you know, Finau was there and then he wasn't. Scheffler kind of, you assumed he would always have a chance at the bell, and he kind of did. So it was an interesting tournament to watch. People making point about, you know, you had Pepe Peter, you know, we missed you last week with Pepe Peter winning. Uh-huh. You had a winner last week who's played in,
can't
I want to say.
Can't believe all the stuff I missed. I missed DeMarco.
You missed DeMarco. You missed Pepe Peter. I don't know what else. There was, a bunch of stuff. DLF week was great. We had some good DLF nuggets about people. You know, Gary Player and the foam bunkers making them any color. You missed some good nuggets, but I think we soldiered on okay. So there was a point, like Pepe Peter, you had a winner last week who's played in like three total majors, and a winner this week who's played in three or four total majors. This is just kind of always been the PGA Tour. Like, this is just what happens. This has always been the case, whether it's like Jim Herman winning an event or whatever. Like, this is what happens, whether it's a younger guy, an older guy. These are the kind of events that get picked off, and I don't think it's necessarily anything out of the ordinary. What was out of the ordinary was sort of the weak-ish West Coast swing, I would say. This is kind of what, this is part and parcel for the tour, and I thought the last 2 weeks were pretty interesting to watch. Come Sunday, the ratings will probably be down, but you know,
ratings are gonna be down. The cable subscribers are down 10% year over year, basically, right? Hey, how about Tony Finau missing a 2-footer on 16 and missing out of a playoff by one shot?
Well, yeah,
he's got to go to a broom.
You don't like Scott. You don't like Tony. Tony.
He finished 75th in the field.
Sharks game.
There's 83 guys made the cut. 75th in the field in putting. And he finished it, and he finished one shot out of the lead.
I have nothing against David Skins, who seems like a really
on,
nice
don't
guy.
Don't go after Skinsy.
I'm not. He was in the final group. I mean, of all the options on the board, I felt like that one maybe would have had the live guys happiest. David, I like, he seems like an incredible guy, a very nice guy. Speak highly of him. But Billy Boy played well. Incredible run.
I was going to ask you, if Jaeger's out, if he's not a 4A guy anymore, who's your pick to replace him? Who's
that's
our new 4A
question.
Guy?
I need to think about it. Skins might be in there.
He's an option.
Clearly, for sure. You know, when you got to call him up in September for some bullpen work. Skins could for sure be one of those guys. Well, I need to comb through the rosters and the farm system to
Ben Silverman.
Potentially Ben Silverman. We'll find somebody. So we got some great Chandler Phillips intel. You want to go hard left? Take a hard left off the.
Well, do you want the Toasty Taylor Chandler Phillips?
Let's go Chandler Phillips first. We'll whet your appetite with that. Chandler Phillips, pace of play is aspirational. We got so many notes from the ground. Houstonite's just coming through. Sorry about the Cougars, but Chandler Phillips, pace of play.
That was a tough break they got. They got with Shed going out.
Yeah. Yeah. Not good. Was constantly leaving these other two behind on the green and moved on to the next tee. Hit out of turn twice without asking while others were getting a ruling and taking their time. So Chandler Phillips, quick note to keep an eye on. I love the guy just hitting out a turn and walking off the green. Speaking of people who walk off the green, Alejandro Toasty.
Well, I think first we should talk about what you do when you wake up in the morning.
Yeah, you talked about cable subscribers being down. But one thing, subscribers, we hope are up. Andy, the coffee is back. Shotgun Start Blend is back, baby. It was about Was it five years ago that we did the original Bixby House, the Masters? Was that the 2019 Masters.
It was the one you Tiger won.
Had a I think that was 2019. Had a great relationship with the Bixby boys.
Sold their business.
They did great. We great relationship. Love those guys. Coffee got a little too pricey for our blood with the give, passing it on to you guys, the listeners. And now we are back after scouring the market, there's some due diligence. We are back with our good friends now. I cannot speak any more highly than the people behind this. We talked to them for a long time in Orlando. We've talked to them in LA when we were out there. Good Walk Coffee Company. You are a listener of this program. You're probably aware of them. They have a strong presence in golf. The people behind this have been amazing. I can't say that anymore. Unequivocally amazing to work with. Chris there has been an awesome dude, knows his stuff, has really tried to set us up with a blend that will work well. Service, I cannot expect anything but great service, but we have relaunched the coffee for subscribers. It is goodwalkcoffee.com. Am I getting this right? I don't want to mess it up.
I think
so. Slash shotgun.
Yeah.
goodwalkcoffee.com/shotgun.
We've got a couple blends.
You have a fried egg blend as well. The shotgun blend is medium dark. Fried egg blend is medium light. But goodwalkcoffee.com/shotgun is the page. There's a little picture of us when we were in LA. Now that I'm looking at it, my eyes are barely open after a cross-country flight. But it's a great setup. The service will be amazing. The coffee's great. They put us through our paces over there. We picked this blend. We just sampled eight blends. We were kind of.
Then we had to try and sleep. It was a late afternoon. I drank like four cups of coffee at 4 p.m.
It was 7 p.m. where I was. That was the day I flew from D.C. We're just guzzling coffee. But we settled on a good blend. It's our own blend. We picked this one. At goodwalkcoffee.com/shotgun. This is a way to support the podcast, support a great company in golf that we've really enjoyed getting to know over the last like 4 or 5 months. So they're going to support us really all year. So subscribe, get back in the boat. If you were a former Bixby subscriber, jump back in. If you're a new listener, we've got a lot of new listeners. This is a consumable good. It's something you drink every day. Hopefully something, you find useful. And it's also a way to, at the same time, support the podcast. So we appreciate goodwalkcoffee.com/shotgun. All right. We've buttered them up with that. What is your toasty tale you've been teasing?
This is my favorite toasty tale of all time.
If you like this toasty tale, maybe subscribe to the Shotgun Start Blood.
All right. So, remember last summer? This is when Toasty mania really started. There's a picture of Mr. Toasty's car. It was a compact Chevy. It might have been like a Chevy Spark or something. There was a check. There was one of his winner's checks in the trunk of the car from 3 months ago.
What is a Chevy Spark? I don't even know what that is.
I think it's a subcompact. I think it's like
subcompact. There's something below compact. I mean, yeah, this thing, it's lime green. Someone sent us the picture. They were kind of snooping around the lot at the KFT Victoria National Finals. And they sent us the picture. And it had a winner's check in it.
So the question was like, what's going on? Why does Toasty have a winner's check from 3 months ago and presumably his rental car at this Korn Ferry Tour event? Well, I'll tell you why. Oh, it's not a rental car.
Oh no.
Mr. Toasty doesn't believe in rental cars. He believes they're a scam.
I don't know. What do you mean?
He doesn't trust rental cars. He doesn't believe in them. So
like the cars or the services, who knows? We don't know. Do we know yet?
So how would one play on the Korn Ferry Tour if you didn't believe in rental cars?
Seems hard. It's a tour.
Mr. Toasty purchased three cars and position them strategically across the country.
Come on.
Week in, week out, Alejandro wouldn't fly to the tournament site. He would fly to the city where one of his three cars was that was nearest the tournament. So he would fly.
He would all to avoid rental cars.
He would retrieve his car and he would drive to the tournament.
All to avoid using rental car services.
I'm not sure if all three of them are the same car, but that Chevy Spark in the photo, or Chevy, whatever Chevy Compact that is one of the three cars that he had positioned across the country to avoid rental cars.
This guy is incredible. The guy is something else, which would explain like why it's kind of a beater and had a check in it. Like if you're going to have three cars and you're just going to station them around the country,
you just leave the check in there.
You get the car that, I don't know what this car costs, 10 grand. I don't know. 12 grand, something like that.
Maybe
I don't
less
know.
Less than that. If it was used, it might be
$2,000. So he's just flying to a city that's within the
general
Northeast.
Yeah, and then if the tournaments were close, he'd stay in the same car week over
drive
week.
To the next. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then he would leave it like in a long-term parking lot, fly somewhere else, and then say the tour came back to the Midwest, then he might fly back to like Springfield, Missouri. Instead of going to Omaha or something. I'm just making this up. To drive to Omaha. So you pick it up in Springfield and drive it to Omaha.
Instead of flying to Omaha and just going to Hertz.
Yeah. So good news for Toasty is now he gets courtesy cars at every tour stop. So
that's good. Well, maybe he's
reasonably I don't know if
skeptical.
He believes in courtesy cars.
He might be skeptical of courtesy cars. That's an all-time. Toasty feels like he's here to stay. He's playing well. He had a good week. He had a good week.
One
we'll
good see. Week.
We'll he's see. Missed, I think, as many cuts as he's made. It's kind of up and
we'll
down.
We'll see how many caddies he ends up with on the year. Could be heading to double digits. Seems imminent. So,
you have anything else on the Houston Open? I think we've talked about everybody, the course, the players, anything that jumped out.
Nice to see Nick Dunlap play well again for the first time, really as a pro. So that was nice to see.
Yeah, he's been on a bit of a tough stretch since the win. Okay, I think that covers it well for Houston. Let's bounce to Nelly Korda. I think I meant to shout her out at the very beginning. Has won three straight times. An incredible run for her. This is precisely what the LPGA needed. I saw the stat the broadcast shared. Three or more wins before April 1st from American players. Last woman to do it was Big Mama, Joanne Carner. That was 44 years ago, 1980. There's like, you're talking about Louise Suggs, Patty Berg, Kathy Whitworth. Just an incredible run. It's precisely like, this isn't women's golf, it's men's golf, it's whatever. Like what people want is like excellence, right? And dominance and identifiable stars. And I think the LPGA needed this, especially after last year wasn't super great. This is, I don't know, these aren't the biggest events. The Ford Championship presented by KCC, this inaugural event in Arizona, the whatever course that was, like the Buck Spark course or whatever. We went over it with Bacon. But I think it's, you know, you talk about the women's NCAA tournament, like really taking a bite out of like this larger sports consciousness with Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and like the WNBA, the potential for the WNBA to pounce on that, you know, as they turn pro. Like in the same vein, the LPGA has a chance when they have someone like Nelly Korda, has a better chance to take a bigger part of the sports consciousness when you have like superstars that are not just, you know, star personalities, but winning and winning a lot. Now she's done it three straight times. So.
This is a dream start for the LPGA Tour for the year. Obviously, I mean, I think Nelly Korda is probably the most marketable player out there right now. Would you agree with that?
I think that's right. Yeah. I think that's
and
right.
To get your most marketable player playing at a dominant level, like, you know, like it's very similar to what's going on with Scotty right now with in terms of dominance, but Scotty is far from the most marketable male pro golfer. He's just the best one right now, right? So I think like this is a dream start. I hope she keeps playing at this level and we could see her knock down a couple of majors. You know, that I think that's probably the big glaring hole on her resume at this point is she doesn't have that many majors. She has one, right? Just one?
Yeah, I think she just has the Atlanta Athletic Club women's PGA, I believe. Should be, I mean, we got the old course this year. Would be a, like kind of a dream match for women's golf right now. So congrats to her on the LPGA. Again, not the biggest event, but, you know, trending in the right direction. With
hey, a win to win.
Chevron, whatever that is, it's called. No, that's their first major. next up, we had Retief Goosen win the Galarai Classic Champions Tour. Didn't watch any of that. The goose. Sorry. I apologize.
The silent goose.
The silent goose. The winemaker. The winemaker goose. On the DP World Tour, I was so sad you missed just a great, eventful week. I'm getting a lot of information from
I feel like DLF really hit the mainstream this week. You know, we've been shouting about it for the 6 years of this podcast, or almost 6 years.
Toasty and this DLF.
This was the week where two of our corners really blew up.
It was great. Apparently these guys are just deathly afraid of getting the stomach bug over there. And they just like, they're so scared of it. And I'm being told they're pampered Fs, like just very scared of getting the bad stomach issue. But Keita Nakajima wins by 4 shots, really dominant. I mean, the course was absurd. Like, you had this eighth hole. I was talking to a few of the caddies. They're just like, I mean, what's the problem with this hole? It's like nothing besides the fact that you have like 12-yard fairway to land. And when you land it, it might roll off into the water. There's nothing wrong with it. You just have to understand it's going to kill you. 12-yard fairway made me laugh. 12-yard landing spot. But it was just over and over. 17 under, though. It's like a course where you can shoot 85 and also shoot 65, you know, twice in a row. So congrats to Nakajima. Japan?
My dream would be to do a full YouTube video on DLF.
DP World Tour social. I think they were throwing catnip at us. They were really leaning into it. They were doing like the yardage book, how to play every hole. They did the tall flag stick. Not just anybody next to it, but the bumblebee. They put the bumblebee next to it. Yeah. They threw him out there, Andy Sullivan. So Nakajima, I just want to point out Japan golf having a little bit of a moment here. Hideki won, seems to be kind of back into form. Ryo Hisatsuni has won. Hoshino has done well. He's a top 100 player in the world. And Nakajima, who obviously had the storied sort of wager run at number one, winning with sizable margin. These aren't the biggest events. Again, 4-shot win at the DLF it's not the most deep field. But Japan,
former number one ranked amateur in the world.
I just said that. Yes, I know.
Masters invite.
They love throwing.
Do you think
that
they're
going to
invite him again?
Again this year?
Yeah.
I think they already they invited Hisatsune. You know, they did that with the Joaquin Neiman, so they might not do it again. But you had Hoshino win at Qatar. Satsuni won somewhere else already this year or the end of last year. I just wonder, like, is the DP World Tour, as we start to figure out this hierarchy of tours, like, it seems like Japanese players are really doing well there. And I'm not suggesting they're top 100 players. They're not necessarily, like, ready to win signature events, but maybe that's sort of like a really nice spot for some of the elite Japanese amateurs or Japan tour players. Like, they jump to that, then they get to the PGA Tour because they're cleaning up and doing really well there in the last like 7-8 months.
I think in general the DP World Tour has acquitted itself really well on the PGA Tour this year. The people that have come over,
yeah, totally.
Obviously, you got Pavon. who at one time was the best player in the world.
You had Valimaki in Mexico, right?
Big boy. Big
the
boy.
Big brother, yeah. He might be able to stop DJ Burns boasting up. I don't think so. What I love about Burns is like he just goes back, like doesn't even try. God, you want to flop, you can flop.
He put Filipowski in a blender.
Yeah. I can't wait.
Like
to
just
see
dominated him.
You see that Purdue guy that flopped today, the kid named Fletcher?
Lawyer. I've seen Fletcher lawyer flop a few times.
Calling it right now. That guy is going to go flying into the first row, whether it's histrionics or not, from DJ Burns next Saturday night.
Well, the question is going to be, will DJ Burns be allowed to play more than, 15 minutes?
You think they're going to whistle him on Edie for too quick, before the under 16?
I think there's two things could be true. Zach Edey.
Japanese golf to Zach? Go ahead.
Zach Edey is extraordinarily good at avoiding fouls.
Uh-huh.
Zach Edey's also allowed to play with a physicality that his competitors aren't allowed to play with.
Okay. Interesting. Well, DJ Burns will be there next week, NC State fans.
That'll be actually I'm hoping for Purdue UConn. Seeing Dan Hurley deal with 40 minutes of Zach Edey officiating could be incredible. Could be theater.
Something else that's incredible.
That Klingon guy can only play like 20 minutes. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Like Illinois like was only in the game because he had to sit so much in the
when
first
he was
half.
Out. Yeah. So interesting.
Where were you going? It seemed like you were getting ready for an ad read.
Maybe. I don't know where I was going. But if I needed to get fit, I do know where I would go. That's Club Champion. I go to clubchampion.com, use the promo code FRIEDEGG. You get 50% off your club fitting amount with the purchase of a club.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
Picking up like 15, 20 yards, that turned a 4A guy, Steven Yeager, into a full-time roster spot guy, starting ball player.
We're about to talk about somebody who lost 15 yards in his own little homemade YouTube video. Little Bryson tweeting the receipts. If you want to get your own receipts, your own data, fully optimized with everything that's currently legal, 65,000 hittable head shaft combos, all sorts of balls that are optimized for, the flight tracking, bay hitting. They've got all the top technology. Everything to get you dialed. You go to clubchampion.com, use the promo code FRIEDEGG. We're coming out of it here. It's golf season again. Whether you need some new wedges,
this is hybrid. What could take you. Jaeger was a 4A PGA Tour guy. maybe you're on the verge of going from the Class B Club Championship to the Class A. Maybe you're the A flight. You want to get up into that championship flight. You're tired of beating up on the A flight guys. This is how you get. This is a way you could get there. Not how. This is one of the ways that can help you get there. Get dialed in.
Golf is booming. It's cost more money for a tee time. Just invest a little bit in the equipment you got. Don't just go grab it off the rack, all willy-nilly. So, all right, clubchampion.com, promo code, all caps, one word, fried egg. All right, let's go to the thick boy, less than thick boy, Bryson DeChambeau.
Formerly known as thick boy.
Will Knights wrote a great article for thefriedegg.com. I don't want to necessarily look, I think our bona fides, our position on the rollback and the ball going too far is pretty well established. Like, I think it's well-founded. I don't think it's disingenuous. It's well-founded. I want to go to Mike Stakura of golfdigest.com, a pro, been in the golf equipment, reporting, testing, everything for decades, has a ton of context. he wrote, read Will Knight's, please, for the blow by blow. Will, like, just went through it. Here's what happened on second hole. Here's what he said that contradicted himself on the fourth hole. Here's what he said that,
lots of compression talk.
But without really knowing what that means, but likes to talk about compression. What was the one, terminal velocity, when he hit the flag at the 18th hole? We had all the,
that was peak. That was when he was peak physics. At, like, physics. You know, this guy's a science genius playing golf.
The ball hit with the terminal velocity, and that's why it didn't go in the flag, go in the hole. Mike Stakura said, you know, DeChambeau even acknowledges as much when he confesses that obsession with bulking up and consuming eight protein shakes a day was ill-advised and left him three times more likely to die of a heart attack rather than living to 100. I forgot it was eight protein shakes. But Mike Stakura, like, just you can read his article. Look, Bryson played a Nike One Tour ball. We don't know what model. It was a 2009 Nike One Tour. We don't know, like, as Takura points out, it probably wasn't sealed in, like, a climate control that, like, it had probably deteriorated, right? Like, we don't know. It wasn't perfectly optimized, certainly for his swing speeds. Bryson is losing, you know, 15 yards or so off the tee, sometimes 20. He's still hitting, you know, 180 miles an hour. I think he got to 190, 187, I think, with one of it, ball speed, the Nike One. He concludes, you know, this is ridiculous. Surely you don't want to see a rollback, right? When he's tweeting out pretty, or I'm sorry, not tweeting, but sharing, basically. Yeah.
Exactly, like, why you might want to roll back.
His wedges were not great. Like, it was interesting to watch the ball just shoot like a bouncy ball, like just fly off 20 yards over the green on him.
My favorite was when he hit a drive and he was like, what? What's going on? Like, if I hit that with my driver, it would have been dead straight. It would have gone 30 yards or 20 yards further and dead straight. Like, you know, he was like, well, that's exactly what it was. Like, he missed it. He hit it on the heel. And the ball didn't do exactly what it would have done if he hit it on the sweet spot.
Yep. Yes. The heel one, the wedges that, like, needed a little bit more. He's obviously not optimized or used to playing it, but he would. This isn't to suggest he couldn't be a pro golfer anymore. If they rolled it back, of course, he would figure it out. And I think that's the whole thing with this. It's like, he's aghast at what's happening to him, but what's happening to him is no great, like, torture. He's still hitting like 180s on ball speed. He's hitting at 320 on par fives. He has two shots in, like, reaching every par five and two. Like, whatever's happening to him is no great tragedy. I think Stakura wrote, what is the great hardship that Bryson faced in his dead ball experience? He's not reaching long par fours and two? No. Is he laying up on par fives? No. Is he unable to carry deep ravines on par threes? No. He called the rollback ball, using it, ridiculous, quote unquote, but he hit 300-yard plus drives every time. He had more or less comfortably reached both par fives that were at 550 yards. He drove a par four that was 340 yards. And the longest iron he had into a par four was a sawed off, or 10 o'clock as his parlance, 8-iron. On the 475-yard eighth hole. And he hit a 7-iron on 225-yard 15th hole, the 15 feet. So, like, he wasn't just hitting these complete, you know, dead balls 260. But his conclusion is, do you think we should roll the golf ball back? Everything I saw today, from my perspective, I personally wouldn't want it. Like, he's just aghast. It's an incredible piece of cinema.
Listen, Bryson's YouTube channel's pretty good. He's got some good stuff. I said this on Fried Egg Pod, but that one club challenge he did with Sergio was, like, incredible.
Interesting.
It was so good to watch.
Yeah.
He does a good job with the whole thing.
Production and everything. Yeah. Yep. But his point here, it's one of those
ridiculous
Bryson things where he thinks
he's been opposed to it for the last 5 years. He's been saying the same, like, this is the thing. Like, if you sent me out there, everybody knows what I'm going to say.
Bryson's been
on the other side. The only thing that would be interesting is if somebody that was on one side tried it, and then completely flipped.
Right.
And no pro golfer is going to flip when they see that it's harder.
So he does the Pro V1 left dash or whatever it is. The best is, and it's precise. It's exactly what the USGA would want to see. And this ball isn't even optimized. Like, the smart, these geniuses at the ball, like, they're going to optimize it for the, you know, these high swing speeds, the deader, quote unquote, deader ball. It's 315 versus 331 against the Pro V1 on the one hole. I think it was 329 versus 309 when he did head to head ball. Like, okay. What you just shared is not the end of the world, but, you know, I think he intended to go that way.
Golf would be great if the longest hitters hit it 300 yards, like it was when John Daly was, or Tiger were the longest players in the late 90s, early 2000s. If you think about just the math of golf, a 500 yard par four would then be a driver long iron for a long player. Yep. I think that's like kind of what we want as golf fans. We want to see a little bit more long irons. We don't want it to just be driver wedge, driver wedge, driver wedge. But the problem is 500 yards for Bryson, who hits at 350, is driver wedge.
Yeah. Right.
You know? Or let's say it goes 335. It's driver 9 iron.
Like 16th at Sawgrass. Is basically a driver, almost wedge, maybe 9 iron, 8 iron for some of these. All right, I think that does it. Just an incredible piece of work, and like, I'm sorry when you have like Sakura's like down the middle, but it's like there's nothing else the USGA needs to do other than hit like and subscribe. I think was the cheeky line he wrote. Like, this is all they needed. RNA and USGA. So congrats to Bryson on his latest bit of work. I think Liv is back this week. Aren't they at Doral?
Miami. Maybe? Yeah. Masters warm up.
And San Antonio is a good field. We will talk about it.
If you were going to bet on Phil, would you bet on him to make or miss the cut this year at the Masters?
Make. For sure. Why? Would you bet on him to miss it? It's completely possible. I don't know. He's
a complete wild card.
No, yeah. He looked completely washed for the first 3 months of the year last year, and he finished runner up. So who knows? All right. I'm very excited for the Masters. Very excited. We're a week away from getting over there. So we'll be back. We will be stocked with Good Walk Shotgun Blend over there. So goodwalkcoffee.com/shotgun. Let's get it rolling again. We can't wait to get back to Augusta. The coffee flowing again. We will talk to you guys on Wednesday. Thanks for your continued support.